Pastoral Care by St. Gregory the Great. Book 3, Chapter 28. How those are to be admonished who have had experience of the sins of the flesh, and those who have not. Differently to be admonished are those who are conscious of sins of the flesh, and those who know them not. For those who have had experience of the sins of the flesh are to be admonished that, at any rate, after shipwreck they should fear the sea, and feel horror at their risk of perdition, at least when it has become known to them, lest, having been mercifully preserved after evil deeds committed, by wickedly repeating the same, they die. Whence to the soul that sins and never ceases from sin, it is said, "There is come unto you a whore's forehead, you refuse to be ashamed." They are therefore to be admonished to take heed, to the end that if they have refused to keep whole the good things of nature which they have received, they at least mend them after they have been rent asunder. And they are surely bound to consider how many in so great a number of the faithful both keep themselves undefiled and also convert others from the error of their way. What, then, will they be able to say if, while others are standing in integrity, they themselves, even after loss, do not come to a better mind? What will they be able to say if, when many bring others also with themselves to the kingdom, they do not bring back even themselves to the Lord who is waiting for them? They are to be admonished to consider past transgressions, and to shun such as are impending. Whence, under the figure of Judea, the Lord, through his prophet, recalls past sins to the memory of souls corrupted in this world, to the end that they may be ashamed to be polluted in sins to come, saying, "They committed whoredoms in Egypt, they committed whoredoms in their youth. Then were their breasts pressed, and the tits of their virginity were bruised." For indeed, breasts are pressed in Egypt, when the will of the human soul is prostituted to the base desire of this world. Tits of virginity are bruised in Egypt, when the natural senses, still whole in themselves, are vitiated by the corruption of assailing concupiscence. Those who have had experience of the sins of the flesh are to be admonished to observe vigilantly with how benevolence God opens the bosom of his pity to us, if after transgressions we return to him, when he says through the prophet, "If a man put away his wife, and she go from him and become another man's, shall he return to her again? Shall not that woman be polluted and contaminated? But you have played the harlot with many lovers. Still, return again to me," says the Lord. So, concerning the wife who has played the harlot and is deserted, the argument of justice is put forward. And yet, to us, returning after fall, not justice, but pity is displayed. Whence we are surely meant to gather how great is our wickedness if we do not return, even after transgression, seeing that when transgressing we are spared with so great pity. Or what pardon for the wicked there will be from him who, after our sin, does not cease to call us? And indeed, this mercifulness in calling after transgression is well expressed through the prophet, when to man turned away from God it is said, "Your eyes shall see your teacher, and your ears shall hear the word of one behind your back admonishing you." For indeed the Lord admonished the human race to their face when, to man, created in paradise and standing in free will, he declared what he ought to do or not to do. But man turned his back on the face of God when in his pride he despised his commands. Yet still God did not desert him in his pride, in that he gave the law for the purpose of recalling man, and sent exhorting angels, and himself appeared in the flesh of our mortality. Therefore, standing behind our back, he admonished us, in that, even though despised, he called us to the recovery of grace. What, therefore, could be said generally of all alike, must needs be felt specially with regard to each. For every man hears the words of God's admonition, set, as it were, before him, when before he commits sin, he knows the precepts of God's will. For still to stand before God's face is not yet to despise him by sinning. But when a man forsakes the good of innocence, and of choice desires iniquity, then he turns his back on the face of God. But lo, even behind his back, God follows and admonishes him, in that even after sin, he persuades him to return to himself. He recalls him that is turned away. He does not regard past transgressions. He opens the bosom of pity to the returning one. We hearken, then, to the voice of one behind our back admonishing us, if at least after sins we return to the Lord inviting us. We ought therefore to feel ashamed for the pity of him who calls us, if we will not fear his justice, since there is the more grievous wickedness in despising him, in that, though despised, he does not disdain to call us still. But on the other hand, those that are unacquainted with the sins of the flesh are to be admonished to fear headlong ruin the more anxiously, as they stand upon a higher eminence. They are to be admonished to be aware that the more prominent be the place they stand on, so much the more frequent are the arrows of the liar in wait by which they are assailed. For he is wont to rouse himself the more ardently, the more stoutly he sees himself to be vanquished. And so much the more he scorns and feels it intolerable to be vanquished, as he perceives the unbroken camp of weak flesh to be set in array against him. They are to be admonished to look up incessantly to the rewards, and then undoubtedly they will gladly tread underfoot the labors of temptation which they endure. For if attention be fixed on the attained felicity, apart from the passage to it, the toil of the passage becomes light. Let them hear what is said through the prophet. Thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who have kept my Sabbaths and chosen the things that I would and kept my covenant. I will give to them in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. For they indeed are eunuchs who, suppressing the motions of the flesh, cut off within themselves affection for wrongdoing. Moreover, in what place they are held with the Father is shown, forasmuch as in the Father's house, that is, in his eternal mansion, they are preferred even before sons. Let them hear what is said through John. These are those which have not been defiled with women, for they are virgins, and follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And how they sing a song which no one can utter but those 144,000. For indeed, to sing a song to the Lamb singularly is to rejoice with him forever, beyond all the faithful, even for incorruption of the flesh. Yet the rest of the elect can hear this song, although they cannot utter it, because through charity they are joyful in the exaltation of those others, though they do not rise to their rewards. Let those who are unacquainted with the sins of the flesh hear what the truth in person says concerning this purity. Not all receive this word. Which thing he denoted as the highest, in that he spoke of it as not belonging to all, and in foretelling that it would be difficult to receive it, he signifies to his hearers with what caution it should be kept when received. Those who are unacquainted with the sins of the flesh are therefore to be admonished both to know that virginity surpasses wedlock, and yet not to exalt themselves above the wedded, to the end that while they put virginity first, and themselves last, they may both keep to that which they esteem as best, and also keep guard over themselves in not vainly exalting themselves. They are to be admonished to consider that commonly the life of the continent is put to shame by the action of secular persons, when the latter take on themselves works beyond their condition, and the former do not stir up their hearts to the mark of their own order. Whence it is well said through the prophet, "Be ashamed, O Sidon," says the sea. For Sidon is, as it were, brought to shame by the voice of the sea, when the life of him who is fortified and, as it were, steadfast, is reproved by comparison with the life of those who are secular and fluctuating in this world. For often there are some who, returning to the Lord after sins of the flesh, show themselves the more ardent in good works, as they see themselves the more liable to condemnation for bad ones. And often certain of those who persevere in purity of the flesh, seeing that they have less in the past to deplore, think that the innocence of their life is fully sufficient for them, and inflame themselves with no incitements of ardor to fervor of spirit. And for the most part, a life burning with love, after sin, becomes more pleasing to God than innocence growing torpid in security. Whence also it is said by the voice of the judge, "Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much." And, "Joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents, more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance." Which thing we the sooner gather from experience itself, if we weigh the judgments of our own mind. For we love the land which produces abundant fruit, after thorns have been ploughed out of it, more than that which has had no thorns, but which, when cultivated, yields a barren harvest. Those who do not know the sins of the flesh are to be admonished not to prefer themselves to others for the loftiness of their superior order, while they do not know how great things are done by their inferiors, better than by themselves. For in the inquisition of the righteous judge, the quality of actions changes the merits of orders. For who, considering the very outward appearance of things, can be ignorant that in the nature of gems the carbuncle is preferred to the jacinth? But still a jacinth of cerulean color is preferred to a pale carbuncle, because to the former its show of beauty supplies what the order of nature denied it, and the latter, which natural order had preferred, is debased by the quality of its color. Thus then in the human race, both some in the better order are the worse, and some in the worse order are the better, since these, by good living, transcend the lot of their lower state, and those lessen the merit of their higher place by not coming up to it in their behavior. End of chapter 28.